In our longest series on the Book of Wisdom, the books that wrestle with God in the fullness of life and loss and gain, with a challenge of what it is to trust God who is perfect in a world that really isn't at all perfect, we have spent these last 6 weeks looking at the Book of Psalms. So often we think of them as isolated poems of praise or sorrow all by themselves, but we've been looking at the whole book of Psalms. And today we come to the last psalm in this series, and it comes like a wave of praise out of a book which rejoices and wrestles in praise throughout. Today I want us to stroll through this psalm together leisurely, to maybe take a different tone than usual in a sermon, certainly in a sermon from me. To reflect on what it means for us today, to take up some of the challenge that Jackie gave us right at the beginning of this sermon series, to pray through the psalm together. So I'm going to read it and we're going to pause and reflect on it together. But look at the first line in this psalm. Psalm 145, if you have your Bibles, do turn with me this morning. It will be on the screen, but do look at that first line. A song of praise of David. The temptation for you and I is to make the Psalms ours too quickly. To take these ancient words and make them belong to today without taking the costly journey to understand them as they were first spoken, first written, first sung. This is a song of praise. And before it belongs to you and I, it belongs to David. It was not written in English or for church services. It was not written on these islands, but far off and in days long gone. It was never heard on a sound system when it was first written. It wasn't in the comforts of easy journeys of cars and pavements, not in safe sanitation and good health care. These words are David's song of an ancient king and his faith in God, who had 2,000 years before David picked an obscure couple from the middle of nowhere and said, "I will make of you a great nation." These are the words of a broken and humbled man who had ruled a nation, a man who knew sin in his heart and trouble in his life, who would see his children grow and prosper and some abandon God. He would bury his children and see his children's lives ruined by lust and greed and war and famine and strife. This is a song of praise of King David, of the shepherd boy who grew to shepherd a nation. And from the obscurity of this ancient kingdom, flourishing under God's blessing, his words are so fresh and powerful for us today because they are God's word. This song of praise that belonged to David can belong to us, can feel like our words. They become our words as we read them, as we pray them, as we say them, as we sing them. It is God's gift to us today, here and now, in your life, in these days. However you come this morning, these are song words for you, prayer words for you. As they come on the screen, I'd love for us to read them together. These first few verses. Let's read these. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Look and see and listen and learn. The God who David praises is eternal, and the praise that belongs to God lasts forever. Think about God's eternal praise. The God who outlasts all our days, all our circumstances, the one who was before the very first day began, is praiseworthy in every day. We don't feel like it every day. Our hearts do not rejoice, but God's praise will echo through eternity and is for every day. It's not because David is too little to say it all, but because God's praiseworthy nature is without limit. It's not just going to take forever for David to list all of God's praiseworthy attributes. It is that no matter how big and strong and great and powerful, God himself is praiseworthy for all eternity. We are told in Scripture that the three persons of the Trinity stand together, giving glory to one another throughout the endless ages. God's praiseworthiness is bottomless, unfathomable, unreachably deep, inexhaustibly beautiful. In days of tears and of grief and in loss, God is praiseworthy. In days of victory and gain, God is praiseworthy. In days when everything goes wrong and you are left frustrated and you want to turn to drink or worse, God is praiseworthy. In days and months and years of stress and strain, in depression and suffering, God is praiseworthy. When your parents reject you and your father abandons you and you are abused, when the generation ahead of you poison your future, when the generation behind you seek to destroy your heritage, when the land you love becomes a passing fad and the world you live in is racked with war, and the best of your looks have sagged and gone wrong, when all of your strength and the keenness of your mind is dim and gone, when your comfort and your plenty and the height of your youth are before you, when you are all that you would ever want to be, when your dreams are handed to you on a platter, God is praiseworthy. When you are most frail and in your most deadly sickness and at the moment of your death, God is praiseworthy. He can take your most awful tiredness and your coldest day. He can take your worst and turn them to his praise. So in them all, God receives the praise and the thankfulness. As we direct our circumstances toward him in thankfulness and in joy, God's praise becomes ours so that this moment and this day might be to his praise and glory, blessing and hope, and we can receive his love. I will extol you, my God and King. I will. Not I want to, not always it's easy, but I will. Let's read together. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The story of praise in relationship between God and people is traced like a cross-generational echo. Here in us reading this psalm, we are displaying it. We are reading the words of King David as though echoing back across the ages to him as he first wrote and shouted and sung and prayed them on the hills of Jerusalem. This echo goes back and forth through time, and even here in this room, young and old, a repeated pattern from generation to generation. We commend God's works to one another, not just the old to the young, but the young to the old. As the old see what God is doing amongst the youth, they will lift their voices in praise of God, who is at work. As the young see what God is doing among the old, they will repeat and declare the wonders of God. The works of God will themselves become the praise of God as we retell the story to one another. What's God done in your life this last week? What is he doing in your life at the moment? How is he shaping and reshaping you? How has he broken your heart? How has he answered your prayers? How has he met with you in the midst of the fullness of life? You know, there's a shyness of telling others about what God is doing in this church. Do you know how I know? Because when someone tells me something great that God has done and is doing in their lives, I say, I'd love you to tell that story on a Sunday morning. People are like, oh, no, I couldn't possibly do that, Andy. I'm not going to do that. Because then people will think I'm bigging myself up. And they'll think I'm proud and arrogant. Last Wednesday night, even, we had a brilliant evening celebrating everybody who serves in church at our annual volunteer celebration evening. And I know that people didn't go because they don't feel like they're worthy of being thanked. Or somehow if they go, they're taking away God's glory by turning up and eating cake. But you know, false humility, right alongside false pride, robs God of his place in our lives. So when you tell me, and now people are going, I'm not going to tell Andy anything ever. But when, or anybody, because people tell me stuff that you tell them. But when God is working in your life and you're asked to share at the front, let me encourage you just to say yes. You don't have to be perfect to be stood up here. I am living proof of that fact. We are broken and we are awesome under God's care. All kinds of things going on in our lives. But God is awesome. And his awesomeness in our lives is not really about us. It's not about us being awesome. It's about him being awesome. It's about God's glory being worked out, that thing that we together are called to so that he might receive glory and praise. So tell our stories to one another. When someone says, how's your week been? And it's been terrible, say, you know, I've had a rubbish week. But God is faithful in the midst of that. Or even I've had a rubbish week and I'm really struggling to see God's faithfulness. Will you pray with me? Or if you've had a brilliant week, tell them. I'm having the best time. All my prayers are being answered. I'm being blessed beyond belief. Tell God's story in our stories. In October, we will celebrate our 65th anniversary as a church. It's on the 6th of October, not the 16th, as is often repeated in the notices at the moment. That's all my fault. A typo on my behalf has caused great confusion. The 6th of October. We will celebrate all that God has done. God has no need of us. It's not like he's waiting in heaven for you to turn up in your generosity and offer yourself for his service. God spoke the universe into being, split the Red Sea with a single act. God, who gave his Son in all his perfection, is pouring out his love in us and for us and through us and to us. He is our hope and our confidence. And on the 6th of October, we will gather as a church. If you know people who have been part of this fellowship in the past under its various names, invite them along that morning. We'll crowd this room more than we normally do. And we will celebrate God's goodness together. Let's continue to read. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. Back in Exodus chapters 33 and 34, Moses having led God's people out of slavery under God's command and provision, stands at the peak of Sinai, the mountain where God is meeting them, where God is giving the commands and revealing his holiness and showing his love and his justice. And God is actually on the brink of rejecting the people that he has called to himself and saved from slavery because of their sin, because of their idolatry at the golden calf. And Moses cries out to God according to God's abounding and steadfast love, according to God's glory, to have mercy on the people. God relents from his rejection and remembers his mercy. And Moses, as if that were not enough, asks for one more thing. Show me your glory. Let me see your face. God, in his protective and loving provision, refuses. You cannot see my face and live. You cannot see all that I am, and all that I am will destroy you because I'm too holy. But I will show you the tail end of the appearance of the likeness of my glory. And I will push you into a rock so that that doesn't damage you too much. And Moses sees this, and his life has changed forever. In Exodus 34, verse 5, it reads, "The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed before him and said, 'The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping his steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation.'" Verse 10. "And he said, 'Behold, I am making a covenant before all your people. I will do marvels, such as have not been created in all the earth or in any nation. And all the people among whom are shall see the work of the Lord, for it is an awesome thing that I will do with you.'" This God of the covenant came down to show his mercy and his love. Half a millennia later, David remembers these words that God spoke to Moses standing on Mount Sinai and writes and sings them in this psalm of praise. David takes the story that God had given Moses and makes that story his own. And today, as we read this, we are invited to take that story and make it our own. Into our story comes this truth and the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the God who has loved us and saved us and revealed himself to us. His grace and his mercy become amazing to us because of Jesus. God's goodness is seen in a man on a cross and buried in the ground and rising from the grave and reigning at the Father's right hand and coming to judge the living and the dead. How great is God? How compassionate. The Lord is gracious and merciful. His mercy is over all that he has made. Let's continue to read. "All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power to make known to all who are born your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations." God's people in relationship with God know God's action in our lives. We cannot know ourselves as well as God knows us. Our hearts are bitter and ungrateful, full of self and all that we feel that we must have. These are the times often we feel like at least that we most need to come to God. This is God calling us to himself. God's eternal praise, God's praise breaks through and breaks down and breaks open new ways for us to move forward. He will take your greatest grief, your greatest loss, and he will turn it to his eternal praise. He will take your brokenness and your pain, your most awful moments, and graciously, compassionately weave them into his praise so that they look glorious and wonderful. Like an artist, patiently taking that which looks base and turning it into something beautiful. It struck me the other week as we watched the kids up here painting what looked like a messy mess. And with an artist's careful hand, Karen, who had put this all together with them, just removed some of the mess and presented us with this hope, with a cross weaving its way through it. As we watched each of the artists take small, unconnected pieces and present to us a work of art like today. Cara's not so sure, but we are. In our moments, in our days, God is working through his praise so that everyone who's ever born will know the praise of God and his goodness. Let's continue to read. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand. You satisfy the desires of every living thing. And so when our confidence has failed, and when we are hungry, and when we are longing for more, we see that it is God the Lord who meets us. Have you noticed in this, on the screens, have you noticed in your Bibles the capital L-O-R-D? I've made it bold. The Bible wasn't written on a computer, unsurprisingly. They didn't have word processing stuff around bold and kind of stuff like that. And this here, this bold Lord, this capital L-O-R-D, every time you see it in the scriptures, is the name of the God who had called Moses and said, when Moses was told, go and tell Pharaoh to let my people go, Moses says, who shall I say has sent me? And God says, say, I am sent you. The one who was and is and always will be, I am. And God's name is so holy that the writers of scripture took one step back from it every time it appears in scripture. And so they wrote Adonai, the Hebrew for Lord. A shorthand way. And so the English translators have done this. So that every time the name, the personal name of God who speaks and who saves appears in scripture, we have mostly L-O-R-D throughout the Old Testament. This is God's own glory at stake. Who is it that upholds all those who are falling but the God who rescued the people from slavery? The God who has revealed himself through careful, endless ages that have been and will reveal himself through the endless ages that are to come. It is the God of covenant, of covenantal praise. Oh, praise the name of the Lord, our God, we have sung. Do you not see Jesus in these words? The Lord, let's read together, the Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. This is the Lord who has revealed himself in the Lord Jesus. Who is the one who bears this ancient name? Who is it that chose the child David and set him up as king? Who is the promised David that would be the descendant? This is the God that David praises. This is Jesus himself, God in human flesh, the God of the Old Testament, wrapped up in all of his promises, delivered in a child and living among us, the one who would go to the cross for us and lie in a grave for us and stand again from death, never to face death again for us, for you. Jesus is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. Jesus is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. Jesus fulfills the desires of those who fear him and hears their cry and saves them. Jesus preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. He is God, who is king, who will be judge over the nations. And read this final verse together. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord. Let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. And so the Psalms trip off the pages of Scripture and shines from the screens of our phones and confront us with the pages of Scripture itself. And these words become our words, our song, our conviction, our hope. What is the story of the book of Psalms, but God's story in this world? Do you remember all the way back when we looked at Psalm 1 and 2? Blessed is the one who does not walk in the ways of the wicked, but who stands firm in the counsel of the Lord. Why do the nations rage against the Lord's anointed? What is the story of the book of Psalms? How remarkable is it that today the Christian family in India, Africa, China, Latin America will read these words or words like them? There'll be some church across the world in all these different continents that will read these words today. In European cathedrals and Eurasian villages, in a myriad of languages of Melanesia and the melodies of the shorelines of Polynesia. These words will raise hearts of brothers and sisters who are in distant places and draw them close to the throne of God. We stand with them before the throne of our Father, giving praise to him whose praise is endless and can't be emptied. In signed languages and in spoken tongues, in the quietness of prison cells, and in raucous gatherings of thousands, these words will stir them to praise today, and here and now they send us in praise. We don't just come here to worship, we go from here to worship. A desk and kitchen bench, and in home and at dinner tables, and in sorrow and in joy, we go to praise God. And we go in the confidence that God's praise is endless, never ending, never failing. God's praise is at work in your life and my life. And we go rejoicing in Christ's name.